Welcome to the newest episode of Games, Sports, and More, the podcast. I'm John, joined once again by Richard.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing today, dude?
Doing pretty duty good. I don't know
howdy,
what that was.
Howdy duty?
I don't know. I don't know where that was. I just had a complete brain fart right there.
Hey, that's cool.
I got nervous.
What?
I'm all nervous.
I thought you never got nervous.
No, I just don't show it. I just get nervous in my head. I'm just getting old and stumbly.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're back after a couple weeks.
Yeah, and my fault.
Yeah, it's all good. People have work to do, things like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I tried to have a social life.
Hey, you tried harder than I did, so yeah. That counts for something. So I know we have some random stuff we want to talk about, but I figured we could start by discussing about how you said you're caught up with the latest with everything on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I'm current for the first time ever, because I always watched it when it came out on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I have HBO Go, so I'm actually able to watch it come Monday when it airs. You know, on Sunday night, I can watch it Monday morning. So I'm actually current with the entire series right now.
That's awesome. You're a little bit further than I am. But
yeah.
So what do you think of where you got to? Because the last time we podcasted, you were just starting the fourth season.
Yeah, it just started the fourth season and kind of got sucked in, but I had to be a good boy and go to bed on time. It's really good. It's intriguing. And there's a couple of character lines that are getting a little played out and a little old. But
like which ones?
Khaleesi.
Oh, gotcha.
It's kind of getting a little annoying. Her storyline is getting a little annoying.
She's totally going to show up one of these years.
She's going to what?
Finally going to make it.
She's
going to
make it. Well, she's on vacation right now, basically. She's stuck in one town. And it's like, if you're going to just hang around, you need to show your boobs a little bit more. Go back to season one boobage and still, total nudity.
Still freaks me out how she just, the dude she's banging just randomly changed actors between the fourth and the fifth season.
Which one's that?
Like the random assassin dude who joined her?
I don't remember him changing characters.
Yes, it was a different actor for when they, I'm trying to remember which town it was. One of the first, like, massive cities she conquered, there was all the random, like, mercenaries for hire.
Yeah.
That were going to fight her, and then the guy decided he liked her, so he turned around and just murdered everyone for her.
Yeah.
And then is it
a different guy? That makes sense to me, because I guess I just thought it had been so long since I watched that season that it was a different character.
Oh, no, it's the same character, different actor.
No, that's too bad.
I know, because the other actor was really cool.
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, and this other one was kind of sleazy, I guess, and I just thought they were two different characters altogether for some reason, because I thought that original guy had been sent off to do something, like sent away, and then they got another type of character. There's so much stuff that goes on that if I don't remember something, or if it doesn't line up for me, I just think that I forgot.
Well, trying to remember like who's who half the time is difficult.
You just need to know Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
Mr. Dinklage.
Because he's the only one who matters.
That's right.
Because that dude is the coolest character in the entire show.
By far. Jon Snow's characters, like his storyline is going really well, though.
Yeah,
it's getting very interesting.
Awesome, yeah, because I liked where it left off, and then I liked where it started on the first episode of the newest season.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty seamless, really, since I had watched the last episode of season three recently.
Yeah.
And then went right into season four. It was a pretty seamless, you know, just that one paralyzed kid just looks way older.
Yeah, he does. Holy crap.
He was a little 10-year-old. Now he's like 16.
So has he been in this season at all? Or is this the season that he's taken off?
No, well, he was in, I think he was in the first episode of this season. Then we haven't seen him since.
Okay.
He was in the first or second episode because they're involved in a little bit of a battle. With the crows,
yeah,
like not with them, but along they're in the same town. The crows have a battle, and one of their crew is mortally wounded.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't want to spoil it too much for you.
That's cool.
But he's off on a little adventure, I guess, north of the wall, and we haven't heard or seen from him anytime recently. So I think this next episode is going to air this coming week. Is got to get caught up on him at this point.
Well, I know that there was one season that both he and Hodor weren't supposed to be in at all, just because their story wasn't going to get covered. I wasn't sure if it was this season or not.
Yeah, it probably is this season then, because it's been, you know, I think I'm on episode five or finished episode five, and It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, what, 8 episodes per season, or is it 10?
10. Okay. 10 episodes, yeah. It's pretty average for HBO, dry squeeze in 10 seasons.
That sounds about right. But it's cool that it's staying good so far.
No, it's been enjoyable. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked there's some awesome stuff that happened, but it far outweighed the stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Where unlike, you know, Sean Bean getting his head lopped off in the first season, and me going, I'm done with this show. This exactly. is stupid. No, this one's like, all right, this person is annoying. Oh, they're dead. Sweet.
And yeah.
So yeah, it's been good.
The entire awkward thing about that whole Sean Bean thing is, there was one NFL podcast I was listening to that for some reason they just spoiled the whole Red Wedding thing.
Yeah.
They didn't say who died during that episode, but they had made it sound like the way they talked made me think it was Sean Bean.
Gotcha.
So when he died like 3 seasons in advance of when I thought he was going to die, pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was. I was watching it, and my wife had read all the books. And she's like, you should read the books. They're so much better. And I'm like, no, because then it'll just spoil the show for me, and I get to enjoy it every week.
Well, yeah.
And then when Sean Bean died, I was like, I'm out. Like, if I would have read the books, I'm then like, as soon as I saw Sean Bean was cast in the character, if I would have known ahead of time, yeah, I'm exactly. like, hey, watching this show is bullshit.
Oh, screw that.
Yeah. Jon Bean should have been Jon Snow or something, you know?
Exactly.
No, yeah. I found something.
What's up?
I found a movie that Sean Bean doesn't die in.
What?
It's National Treasure.
Well, is he true? He just gets arrested.
He just gets arrested, maybe goes to jail and gets prison raped and killed, but we don't see that part of it.
He takes a shiv to the back.
Yeah. Because he's a bit of an asshole, so he's probably getting a little shower beaten.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
But I was like, oh my God, it's Sean Bean. I was like, I was racking my brain. Yeah, I was like, did he die at the end of this? This is a Disney movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a kids' Disney movie.
Yeah, I liked it the first time I saw it, and I can see how it doesn't hold up, but it was fun the first time I saw it. I enjoyed it.
Well, I still really liked the first one.
Yeah, it was good. The second one was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it was on TV the other day, and I made it through part of it. I'm like, oh, this movie's not very good anymore.
Yeah, the giant treasure maze inside of Mount Rushmore.
Ed Harris dying.
Oh, yeah. When they didn't kill Sean Bean in the first one, they had to kill Ed Harris in the second one.
Yep. Had to make up for it or something.
I know, right?
Man.
But, oh, yeah, so since I saw Jon Bean, I was just watching it one night, and I was like, oh, does he die? No. I'm not, but I thought it was funny.
I haven't actually, I've seen the first episode of that TV show Sean Bean was doing, that Legends one. Have you heard of that?
I don't think so.
They released it last year, and I know they released like 13 episodes. I don't know if it got canceled or if it was renewed for another season. I haven't heard anything about it.
What did it air on?
It was on, I believe, ABC, but let me double check really quick.
What was it about?
He was a spy for the CIA who always went deep undercover, but he had this weird mental issue to where he could not remember who he was, and so
which makes the perfect CIA agent, because exactly. plausible deniability.
So, like, one episode he was a crazy neo-Nazi, and then he couldn't remember, like, if he was actually a neo-Nazi or if he was an agent, and it was left at the end of the first episode that I watched that another CIA agent had been killed trying to warn him about some big conspiracy.
So it sounds like Chuck meets Quantum Leap or something.
Kind of, yeah. And I haven't seen the rest of the season. I have it recorded.
I think it got canceled.
Probably.
There was a huge purge in the network TV in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was on TNT, so it was probably canceled.
Well, on the other hand, TNT will air anything
for any period of time. They canceled that show with the guy from My Name is Earl, where he was a jazz musician who's also a cop.
Yeah, because that's a terrible idea.
Well, yeah.
he is a former professional skateboarder.
Earl
was the peak of his existence as far as, you know, bring back Brody from Mallrats, you know, just put him in his own show.
Well, he did have a pilot he did for Amazon.
Oh, I saw that one. And that was
pretty good. Had him and Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, it was the family owns a gun shop. Yeah, I think that one did really well, and I think that one got optioned.
I hope so.
I like the way Amazon does their pilots.
Oh, yeah.
Because they release them, and so the public gets to view them and rate them.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because I watched it, and I thought it was a good time. And plus, it had that guy from True Blood who's not in True Blood, so it's cool watching him in something.
Yeah, I actually didn't like him in this. I liked... I like Jason Lee. Yeah. I like Brian Dennehy.
I love Brian Dennehy.
Yeah. But I like the concept of the show, but it's weird feuding families that own gun stores. Mm-hmm. See how it goes. But it was fun to watch the first episode.
Yeah, it was.
So if they do pick that one up, it was rated really well on there and had lot of ratings to it. So I don't know how they're judging that and going by that and deciding to continue on.
All right.
So, gets this deer mean mugging me out of your window.
Yeah.
I need some venison jerky, buddy. Come on in.
The neighbors behind my house feed the deer.
Oh, that's lured them in for hunting season.
Basically, yeah.
Bam.
It's funny, you get home and there'll just be like 10 deer just sitting in my parking spot in my driveway.
Yeah.
Kind of have to just like pull up and wait for them to move before you can park.
You just keep moving, they'll get out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So I looked it up and it says that Legends is supposed to have a second season sometime this year, but it hasn't released any like information about when they start filming or anything.
Probably haven't started filming yet.
But I know when that show came out on like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, TNT was basically going, hey, if you watch this show, we won't kill Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Well, then it kind of takes it away a little bit, but at the same time, I understand why they would do that.
Oh, yeah, they just want some people to watch their freaking show.
But, man, at least on his IMDb page, he's not locked down to one show for very long, so he can have a pretty impressive scroll going there.
Oh, yeah.
Scroll down, one episode, one episode, one episode, one episode.
Six episodes.
Yeah.
A quarter of a movie.
What?
Have
you watched, do you have Amazon Prime?
I occasionally do. Like right now, I need to resubscribe to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But just like the annual? You mean talking about the $100 a year?
Yeah, well, my annual membership expired like a month ago.
Oh, gotcha.
So I just have to re-up it.
I got mine discounted for like $76. I found some
time. Got that student discount?
No. They just did a promo for a month. So that's why I picked it up. And I watched Alpha House.
How was that? That was the one really with good. John Goodman, right?
Yeah. Funny. Really funny.
It looked really good.
For binge watched both, you know, the first season went a little while after it aired, and then I just got Amazon Prime, so I watched the second season. And John Goodman is absolutely fantastic in it. I love his character. The whole house is just a bunch of House of Republicans.
Oh, okay.
And you know, and it makes sense to really think about that. You have all these, you know, politicians that come to DC and they're there for months at a time or weeks at a time, several different times a year, so they don't have a house, you know?
Yeah.
So you got one guy that has a house that just rents the rooms to a bunch of other people. So you have a young Republican and a really old Republican. The first episode of the first season, I mean, Bill Murray was in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a very, very, very short cameo, but at the same time, a big part of the what the whole storyline ended up being, because he basically gets arrested. He's supposed to turn himself into jail. And
yeah.
He partied and slept past the time he was supposed to show up for jail.
Sounds
and
about
so
right.
They showed up at the house with warrants to arrest him. And it was a very short scene that had him in. But so he leaves the house and they got to find somebody else. And so they bring this young guy in and it sets it up for the season. That guy's just a, you know, puss hound, just crushing puss everywhere.
That's a good role for him.
Yeah. He's a young, dapper looking dude. And you're in DC and you're a young politician with some power, crush some puss.
Yeah, but you got to own up to it. Don't try to hide it like all the other people.
Well, he does hide it very well. Then in the second season, it's just a good show. It's got good humor, but it's still kind of politically based. It's got a little bit of real life in it, but yeah, it's fun. I recommend it.
What?
Can't wait till the third season comes out. So,
yeah, I need to re-up and watch it. So I was going through the list of just random, like top movie news.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find some of the other stuff that we were discussing earlier off air.
Yeah.
And apparently it says that Tom Hardy was on Peaky Blinders for a while.
He apparently is. I started watching the second season and we kind of got sidetracked.
Yeah, I've only made it through part of the first season.
Yeah, he's in the second season.
Okay.
And I think we made it to the episode where he first pops up. We only did watch it's an English show made for the English version of Netflix, but their seasons are called series. And so they make a 6-episode series every year, for that. So it's only like 6 episodes, maybe 7 episodes tops.
Gotcha.
And I think we watched the first two in the second season. So we still have 4 more to go.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, he's apparently supposed to be in it, but I haven't really gotten into the second season as much as the first one. The first one was really good.
Yeah. I really liked the episodes I've seen so far.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
But then I also got distracted because there's a whole crap load of shows I was like 8 episodes behind on.
Yeah, and that's, I think that was our part of our problem. My wife and I, we just got sidetracked getting back onto other stuff. And then when they dropped Friends, the entire series of Friends on Netflix, my
just
wife
like
never
some
really
binge watching.
Oh my God, yeah, we're already almost to season 8. Because we watch 4 to 5 episodes minimum per night.
Yeah,
and I've seen every episode of Friends at least 3 times just because it used to air in syndication.
Oh, yeah.
On one of the channels, I think from 6 to 8 o'clock. It was a 4-episode block, and I used to just watch it all the time. So I'm always watching the episode going, oh, this is the one that this happens. This is the one that this happens. But she hasn't really ever seen them because there's a little generation gap there. But so we started watching that, and it's just our jobs are a little tough right now, and we, you know, we don't get a lot of time to spend watching TV together, so we like watching something funny.
Exactly.
But I do have the best drinking game ever for Friends.
Oh, what's that?
Every time you spot a nipple, that studio is chilly.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that before.
Yeah, that studio is chilly, and it's still chilly into season 7.
They probably did it on purpose.
Tell you what, high definition, it's amazing.
Just got Jennifer Aniston on stage. Turn that down just a hair.
You got Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox. You got cameo nipples. It's, nips. It's just pitching little mini nipple tents all over the place. It's awesome.
But no, I had the same thing to where we were keeping up with Gotham, Arrow, The Flash, like all those shows, and then we like binge watched the first season of Silicon Valley. Then we binge watched 2 full seasons of Black Sails, and then just catch up on all these other shows.
Yeah, I'm like 4 or 5 episodes behind in Gotham.
Oh yeah, me too.
At least 4 or 5. I think I at least have 4 in my Hulu quo.
I know like the finale was, I think, last week or the week
was
before.
Was it? Okay, then maybe I'll have to sit down this weekend, maybe if I have time, and finish it up. Because I also tried watching the Daredevil show, and I got about 4 episodes into that.
Oh yeah, I watched the
entire
season of that.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did enjoy what you're talking about. Having been a former stunt guy, trained for many years, I got get a little stunt guy boner watching the fight scene, hallway fight scene. It's
such
not
a
the
good scene.
It's not the best, most action packed.
Exactly.
But from me, from being a behind the scenes technical guy, the amount of camera cuts they did not use, and the length of the scene and the sound effects they used, very well choreographed. Very, very well choreographed. You haven't seen something like that since like the 60s or 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Early 80s, maybe.
I loved how it was just so basic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, late 80s, they got away, got into a lot of the camera cutaways, especially with like Steven Skull and Van Damme and even Chuck Norris. Makes them look faster and more deadly. Roadhouse, you know?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Any
Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, exactly. I think Crank is just cutaway, cutaway, cutaway.
Oh, yeah.
But you haven't seen a fight scene like this because usually they'll shoot them from multiple camera angles time and time again with the same style of fight scene or same fight scene, and they'll run it through like that. But this there was hardly any camera cutaways. There were a lot of extended scenes going on. So yeah, I really appreciated that, putting a lot of stunt guys to work and not using CGI or camera work.
Plus he threw a TV and hit that dude in the head.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which is just so funny because I love the entire point of that fight scene is he's just like so raw and he just gets so tired and worn out halfway through the fight, but he's still just like stumbling around just beating people up.
Well, it's kind of like a little bit more real lifey, like you know, because it's like you see a lot of scenes and they punch somebody and knock them out.
Oh yeah.
And then they're just down. Like when you get knocked unconscious, if you're unconscious for like 45 minutes to an hour, that's called a coma.
Yep.
There's a big difference. Like if you get hit with a punch, I mean, you see MMA fighters get knocked out.
And they're up in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, they get him up into a chair and like stumble around. So I was watching the scene. I pay attention usually to one guy.
Oh, yeah.
One of the henchmen. I'll pay attention to see what they're doing. And one guy fell into the back, into the door, in a corner, and he was down for a second. And it's all timed out, and he starts moving a little bit and then gets up and gets back into the fight. Because that's what you do. That's what happens.
Exactly.
I mean, he's a blind guy. He's not a superhero. Like, he doesn't throw. He's, you know, he should be using brass knuckles first off.
Yeah.
Like, that would make his problem a little bit easier because he could put dudes in a coma.
It would make his life way better.
Yeah. Right? Like, you're there kicking, bad guys' ass. Don't take it easy on them.
Exactly.
Just don't go flesh on flesh.
No, it doesn't. Knock especially because they're trying to kill you.
For sure.
So, since you're in 4 episodes, have you met the guy who trained him when he was younger yet?
I think they got a glimpse of him, maybe. or something like that. I don't recall meeting him yet. So.
Oh, okay. No, I couldn't remember if it was later in the season or not. He's only in it for like two episodes.
I feel like it's
another character who teaches him how to be better at being blind.
It must have been like a flashback.
Yeah.
As a little kid was something that somebody trained him in something is what I remember. But no, I don't think I've gotten into that part of it yet.
Yeah, that part's cool. Just because the actor they hired to actually train him.
Who's it?
Well, I didn't know if it was actually announced or if you wanted it spoiled or not.
No, it's fine. I don't know who the actor is. That's fine.
Scott Glenn.
Scott Glenn. Who's Scott Glenn?
He's the old guy from like Silverado and...
You're such a Silverado.
I am.
Like, I don't know Silverado. It was even before my generation, really. I was like... I think I was 3 years old when Silverado came out.
He was in The Hunt for Red October.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was 10.
He was in Training Day.
Training Day?
Yes.
That movie sucked.
He was in a bunch of the Bourne movies.
Okay, what did he play in the Bourne?
He's like the director of the spy agency.
Oh, okay, I got you. The guy gets shot at and killed at the end, or
I don't think he's the one who gets shot and killed. He's the super old guy, who's always like super frail looking.
Super frail looking old guy. I don't know.
Sorry, I was trying to think of like all the movies, different movies he's been in, just because I think he's awesome.
Just because he was in Silverado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Hunt for Red October.
Well, Hunt for Red October wasn't bad, but yeah, Silverado, I mean, Kevin Kline, I remember being in Silverado. It was Danny Glover in it?
Yeah, it was Kevin Kline, Scott Glenn, Danny Glover, and Kevin Costner were the four main guys.
Okay.
Then also had Jeff Goldblum, Brian Dennehy, John Cleese.
Oh, okay. I know this guy. He was in something else when I was a kid.
Oh, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, there was something specific I remember him from, but I can't think of it. I don't remember him.
What year are you looking?
Not really looking at a year, I guess.
He was in Backdraft?
I vaguely remember him being in Backdraft. He was in stuff a lot when I was a kid.
Oh, he's been in so many movies.
Yeah, a lot of the
Man on Fire, Silence of the Lambs.
There's not like, you know, like Silence of the Lambs and Man on Fire were movies I only ever watched one time. What else we got here? Off Limits, Man on Fire, The Vern Miller Story. Whoever Vern Miller is,
I have no idea.
Played Vern Miller. So yeah, I guess Silverado came out in 1985, so I was 7. It was in Germany at the time.
Oh, gotcha.
So I didn't see it maybe until the late 80s one time. My parents watched a lot of Westerns, and my dad watched a lot of World War II movies. So I kind of shunned that era and that genre until later life. Urban Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Urban Cowboy, I remember him in. And I don't remember him in Apocalypse Now, but yeah, I remember him from Urban Cowboy.
Okay. And the ironic thing is, when I was growing up, my parents watched a lot of Westerns and World War II movies as well, which is why I love Silverado and Kelly's Heroes.
Kelly's Heroes was awesome. But yeah, I know I shunned it until later life, and now I like watching World War II movies and Westerns.
Me too.
Like Open Range. Open Range was a nice, dry, long Western movie.
It was enjoyable.
Pretty good.
I liked it.
For sure.
Plus, it had some good actors in it, too.
Yeah, now I'm distracted by this phone that you have, this gigantic Nokia. It's a Nokia. I haven't seen a Nokia since I had one of the old ones with the green screen.
It's my Windows phone.
Yeah, that's nice. Sweet. I'm going to make some long-distance calls.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, what else are we going to talk about now, I guess?
Well, you're talking about how they just announced a Underworld 5.
Underworld 5. Kate Beckinsale is hopefully dusting off the latex outfit one more time. She's gonna return for it. They're supposed to be filming in October in Prague.
Is that a tax break?
Prague, yeah. Prague has a huge tax break. There's a lot of movies that get filmed in Prague.
That's not where they filmed Ghost Rider 2.
Could have been. Who watched that? I don't know.
I didn't watch it either, but.
No, there's a lot of movies. I think Hostel 2, one of those, was filmed over in Prague. Yeah, they're really welcoming. The government's really welcoming of the film because they kind of need the income over there and the business.
Sense.
But yeah, it's got a female director. She directed a bunch of stuff. Nothing really in my book of note, but she's going to direct it. And they said that it's going to basically focus on a younger younger crowd of, or a younger group of vampires.
Which I hope that, like, it has a, the possibility of being god awful.
Oh, it has. It's going to be, it's probably going to be absolute crap.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm such a sucker for Kate Beckinsale in the latex outfit. That first, you know, Underworld 1 was really the only good one.
Oh, yeah.
The 2 was like, yeah, this is a sophomore effort. But the third and fourth ones, the fourth one was okay, I guess.
The fourth one's better than the third one.
Oh, the third one was absolute dog.
Oh, yeah.
A prequel? You.
Yeah.
That was so stupid. But, yeah, no, this it's probably going to be absolute garbage, but I'll watch it. I'm not going to the theater for this one, though. I went to the theater for the fourth one. I watched the fourth one. Was my, third one. Thanks, John. No,
Hey, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yeah, it's her fault. Damn it.
I was like, I really like Underworld, and I'm hoping this one's really good. And then your wife was like, I really love Underworld. I'm like, I guess we're going to the theater. but no, I watched the fourth one in IMAX, and it was actually my first real IMAX movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been to a couple IMAX theaters, but they weren't legit IMAX screens. So at the beginning of that movie, when there's like a scene where she jumps off the roof and they have a down camera angle or something like that, yeah. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, I'm a little too old for this, I think.
But I enjoyed the fourth one definitely more than the third one.
No, the third one, it's
I like the random just like freeze thing.
It's the Tokyo Drift of the Underworld as far as the storyline has really nothing to do with the rest of it. I mean, it's related, but you already know what happens.
Exactly.
You know the outcome.
And it's just like, why?
And they just use some old footage of Kate Beckinsale, which still leather outfit from first episode or the first movie. So she still got paid.
That was the thing I really hated about third one. It's just like, all right, she might be in the movie. Oh, here's some archive footage from the first one.
Yeah. Well, they advertised her being in it because they had to. But it's it's definitely just the opening scene from the original Underworld. Disappointing. Hollywood rehashing. Did you see Jem the Holograms, the movie? You know Jem the Holograms. It's way past your generation. Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay.
It was kind of a girl cartoon. I think it was the lead-in for Punky Brewster or something like that.
Oh, gotcha.
Anywhere I was at, everybody had different Saturday morning cartoons. And so you had like Care Bears.
Yeah, I remember all those.
It's like the early ones were kind of the girly ones. Then it kind of transitioned. But I, you know, would wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday to watch cartoons.
Yeah, me too.
And there's one called Jem and the Holograms. And Jem had gotten willed something by her rich father who died. And she had earrings that would project a hologram, and she took on this. It's kind of like, you know, whatever Hannah Montana ripped it off, really.
Oh, gotcha.
To where she's one person, but then she's a singer, rock star. And she'd have this little hologram earring or something, and everybody saw her as the rock star, and she'd turn it on and off. But of course, it was like her band, I think her band was all robots or holograms or something as well. I can't even remember. But like, they solved crimes. That's what they did. Now they have a live-action movie that they're rehashing and bringing up these old characters. And it's got them just being a band that forms and dealing with the inner struggle of the lead singer becoming famous. It's not solving no crimes.
That's stupid.
Yeah, and then what do they do to give it some validity from the 80s? They put an 80s icon in it.
Oh, no.
Miss 16 Candles, Miss... Breakfast Club, Molly Ringwald is like their agent or something. And I was like, this is absolute
That is ridiculous.
Bottom of the bucket, Hollywood. Bottom of the bucket.
Yeah, that's not, no.
Just make another Scooby-Doo movie. At least I can, you know, at least you can just have a couple of pot references for everybody else and it makes sense.
Yeah.
But nobody gave Jem and the Holograms back in the day. The only reason I watched it, because I'm pretty sure it was the lead-in for Punky Brewster, and Soleil Moonfry, even at a young age, had huge boobs. She had to have a boob reduction. They were so big.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And she still has huge boobs. I was a kid. What do you want me to do?
Hey.
Punky Boobster.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was... You gotta have the parts that you enjoy.
So now what they need to do is they needed to, you know, like, put Strawberry Shortcake in the next Hunger Games movie.
There you go.
Or you just have a Care Bears, post-apocalyptic Care Bear movie.
Wasn't there a Robot Chicken sketch about Strawberry Shortcake where she was like a druggie or something?
Yeah. Like the whole neighborhood was druggies or something like that. I can't remember. The Robot Chickens. I wish there was a lot more of those episodes pumped around.
Oh, me too.
Because it's all the 80s references from my childhood, 70s and 80s, so I really enjoy it.
It's amazing how many people they can get to be on that show.
Oh, there's so many celebrity voices.
Oh, I know. People who make fun of their own actual characters.
Yeah, well, you had Billy Dee Williams in there playing his character from Star Wars.
Multiple times, too.
Yeah, a bunch of times. Well, you know, he's probably a little hard up for cash, so it doesn't take much convincing.
Yeah, true.
But, I love all the Star Wars, and they did the full Star Wars mocking, you know, mock-ups.
They've done so... Because I think they've done three of those, right?
At least three. I have one on my iTunes that I think I got for free or I bought.
So they gave away, I think, the second one for free on Xbox Live a couple years ago.
Yeah, I've got one on iTunes that I think I might have just bought for a plane ride to watch. And it's one that follows the Emperor around, like, when he was a young guy. And then, you know, it does a flashback, like, 80s movie flashback.
Yeah.
He's getting thrown over the ledge by Darth Vader. And he's like, it pauses him in midair.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's like,
that's the second one, I think.
Yeah, it goes into that.
So funny.
How did I get here?
I love that episode. Anytime they have the Emperor, it's just so funny because, like, I mean, Seth MacFarlane does such a good version of him.
Stormtrooper.
Because he's like half Stewie, half just random other characters.
Stewie?
You know, from...
Oh, Seth MacFarlane, yeah. I was thinking Seth Green for some reason.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, because he's making him kind of like that.
Have you ever watched A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Not yet.
No. Oh, my God, you got to watch that.
See, I was
such a fun
movie. Oh, I thought it was going to be so bad.
No, it's so funny. It's such a fun movie to watch. You got Liam Neeson in it, you know, plays the bad guy.
Oh, I know. He's hilarious.
Oh, well, I mean, he's got a limited role in it, but he accents the funny. But then you've got, you know, NPH.
Oh, yeah.
NPH is awesome.
And Giovanni Ribisi, I know, plays
yeah.
a less creepy version of Giovanni Ribisi.
With Sarah Silverman.
Which is so random.
Yeah. No, it's... I think it was a very underrated movie. I think it's hilarious. If you watch Blazing Saddles, follow it up with A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Doing a twofer. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. I think they're generations apart, but inspired by the same Mel Brooks humor, which I think is just great. And you got Mr. Belding's in there for a minute. He plays a fat old snake oil salesman. Ryan Reynolds is in it for a second.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were talking once about that random cameo that he had.
Yeah, he just does cameos and stuff.
Yeah, this is a cameo he's literally in that he doesn't say a word and he gets shot and killed. It's just like, it literally is like, what the, Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
And then like, what, he's dead? He's maybe on second screen for less than 5 seconds and
That's
he dies.
Hilarious.
But you're just there. It's... No, it's a great movie.
I love super weird, you know, cameos like that.
Yeah, and there's a good handful of cameos in this, but no, you definitely need to watch it.
Okay.
And it's on HBO Go.
Oh, really? Sweet. Yeah,
it's on HBO Go right now. I don't know how much longer it's going to be on there, but check it out. Put it in your queue, and watch it. Watch it twice.
Watch it. Oh,
I think because I watched it. I just watched it the second time recently.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that little things that you just miss, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And then the Back to the Future reference in the movie is hands down the funniest part of it. But, and you'll have to watch it to find out.
So does it involve ZZ Top?
No. You asked that same question last time when I started.
Did I really?
I told you about this. No. I don't know what ZZ Top has to do with Back to the Future.
He was ZZ Top's in Back to the Future 3.
Oh, the Western, they put the Western band.
Yeah.
No. It's much better than that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you watch it.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah.
Huh. Apparently Kevin Bacon was to make more Tremors.
Well, he was only in the first one.
I know. That's
the other guy's
the
one that ran with the other guy and the Family Ties dad were the ones that ran with the second and third one.
And then the TV show.
I forgot about the TV show.
Oh, it was so bad.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
And I love...
That seems like something that would have been on TNT.
Oh, you'd think it would be. It
probably was. I saw the original Tremors in the theater, and it was a really good movie.
Oh, I love
at the time.
The first
Reba McEntire and the Family Ties dad.
So funny.
Yeah.
I forgot that she was in that.
Yeah, the big gun-toting family. It's like, watching that, it's like, I want their underground gun safe that they live on top of.
Yeah, that thing would be sweet.
Yeah, just giant worms in the sand out of nowhere. Fun movie. Saw it a long time ago. Whenever it came out in 89? 88 or 89. What do you think it was?
I might have had it earlier in my brain.
Well, I know it was late 80s or early 90s. I know that 100% for sure.
1990.
Was it 90? Okay. 89 and 90. I knew that.
Wait, they made one. They made a Tremors 5.
They did, yeah. They started flying or something like that. Little ones.
With freaking Jamie Kennedy.
Well, of course, you know. Poor Jamie can't. Scream was the only franchise that he could get in from the beginning, and then he still Jamie Kennedy'd up later. I mean, they actually killed him off and then brought him back for another movie in just a video cameo.
I don't think I've ever actually seen Tremors 4 either.
Don't waste your time even past Tremors 2.
It's a prequel?
Is it a Western set prequel?
It shows how apparently people created the valley from Tremors 1. Oh, Lord. I've seen Tremors 3.
I've seen part of Tremors 3. I can't do it.
What?
It's one of those movies that did not need sequels. I mean, it was borderline bad enough, but it wasn't so bad that you couldn't watch it. But Kevin Bacon plays a complete moron in it.
I love that they made the second one, just for the scene where the dude blows up that entire warehouse with all the C4.
I haven't seen that since it came out. I really haven't. I made sure not to try to ruin the experience of the first one.
Yeah, see, I lived with my dad, who loved Tremors a lot.
Yeah.
And so I've seen the first two many, many times, and the third one like twice. I haven't seen the fourth or the fifth one, though.
Direct to VHS.
Yeah. Absolutely it is.
I saw a lot of bad movies in the theater as a kid. Because you couldn't, that's the only thing you had. I mean, you didn't have anything on demand. So you took a gamble and you went to the theater and watched it. Because direct-to-video was just barely an emerging market in the 80s and 90s. Then they realized that they could actually make some money if they do it. Just get the distribution, sell the distribution rights.
So it's really weird when you look up we're discussing just the random uncredited cameo scenes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really weird ones I had forgotten about.
In what?
Just in movies where people show up and they're not in the actual credits because they're only in the movie for like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like how Tom Cruise is in Goldmember.
Is he? What is he playing Goldmember?
James Bond. He plays Austin Powers for like 10 seconds in the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, really?
They
snuck that in there, huh?
And then all of a sudden it just switches it back and it's, you know, back to Mike Myers.
I don't remember that. I did love when he was in
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, yeah. He played an awesome character in that.
I love that movie. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's
I don't love the movie.
Oh, I do.
I love the characters, but I think the movie's pretty stupid.
Oh, no, the movie is retarded.
Robert Downey Jr. does an amazing job as well as Tom Cruise, but the rest of it, I don't like the guy Down and Out or whatever that is.
Not many people like him.
I'm not really a fan of him. He plays the same character in everybody. I liked him in Pineapple Express, and that was about it.
The funny thing is I thought he was... I thought I loved him as an actor. I thought he was hilarious because I'd watched him in like Tropic Thunder, a couple other things. Then I watched 30 Minutes or Less, and I was like, oh, you're terrible. And then I watched part of Eastbound and Down, and I was like, oh, you're terrible in this too.
Yeah.
And I started like going back, and you're like, oh, you played the exact same character every single time.
Yeah,
and you suck.
Same guy.
Yeah, he's not funny.
The one good thing about 30 Minutes or Less, the hot chick from Rules of Engagement shows her boobs.
She's also an Undateable now.
That's right. Yeah, she's an Undateable. They had the live episode that they did.
It was really weird.
Was it? I had both the East Coast and West Coast one on my Hulu.
Yeah.
And I didn't get around to watching them right away. And the East Coast one, they only had out here on the West Coast for, I don't know, they took it down. Maybe they took it down Hulu-wide. It expired already. Random. West Coast one's still up, but I haven't watched it.
You know, I didn't like the first season very much.
Yeah.
But I stuck with it. And the second season's a lot funnier. But the live episode was just, it was kind of more awkward because they forced a bunch of cameos into it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how they do with stuff like that.
Like, for some reason, Donald Faison and the main guy from Scrubs show up as people who work at a retirement home. And then there's a couple, like, musicians who are really popular. They show up and there's just random people like singing Britney Spears songs throughout the episode.
Well, that's how you buy time on a live show, you know, to get to places for a different scene, because you can't just stop and cut and go.
But one funny part was one of the actors, Brent Morin, who's a comedian, like one of this musicians like Ed Sheen or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think that's what his name is.
I remember back in the day, you remember the show ER?
Yes.
ER did live episodes. They did it the same way. They were like the first one to do it.
Oh, okay.
They did an East Coast and then a West Coast. So, and they're an hour show. So they did two live shows in one night. And I actually lived in a place that had a weird antenna set up because we were just on antenna, that I got the Idaho feed.
Oh, really?
For NBC as well as the Oregon feed. So on any given night, I could watch Tonight Show and Letterman, because even though it was an Idaho feed, it was on Mountain Time.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't watch it fully live, but, Tonight Show would air at 9:30 on that channel, 2 hours ahead of schedule, our time. So just like an hour delayed. So I watched the East Coast episode and the West Coast episode live in the same night, just to see the differences. It was fun to spot. You actually saw some cameramen get caught in the picture a couple of times. I think they had it something set up to where they were like getting filmed for a live cops type show, but for the hospital. So they kind of got away with it. I don't remember, but yeah, it's pretty brave to do a live TV show, especially ER.
Oh,
it's crazy.
So the guy I was thinking of was actually named Ed Sheeran, who's like some British songwriter.
I know Ed Sheeran, yeah.
Okay. So there's a part
where... The ginger dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like constantly harassing Brent Morin throughout the entire episode, just like having people slap him and just screwing with him. And just like all of a sudden, he just randomly walks up and just starts making out with him. And it just freaks Chris D'Elia out.
That is pretty weird, and it probably did freak Chris D'Elia out in real life.
Oh, well, yeah, because he's just like, what the f-? I guess we're going to go to commercial now or something.
Yeah.
He's just like freaking
out. Probably just set him up on something. Probably was a setup. Maybe that's why they took one of the episodes down. I don't know.
Could be. But yeah, so I watched a couple episodes before you got here tonight.
That's like Undateable?
It was like the finale of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, after 2 full seasons, it's now the longest running NBC comedy ever, which is nuts.
No. Friends was NBC.
Was it really NBC?
Yeah. Friends was NBC. That went for 10 seasons. There's a lot of shows that were on NBC.
Well, then why was it? That's weird. So I was reading an article about how they said that Undateable was the longest lasting NBC comedy.
No, I think that maybe is just sarcasm, just as of late. Because as of late, they haven't had any sitcoms that are worth a crap.
Yeah.
But Friends was absolutely NBC.
Okay. Well,
NBC used to dominate mid-80s sitcoms, or mid-90s, I'm sorry. Mid-90s sitcoms, yeah. NBC was like a dominating force right after Fox kind of lost their edge a little bit.
It's kind of weird how they go back and forth.
Because Scrubs, no, Scrubs might have been CBS. No, Scrubs was NBC and then switched to CBS for the last season, if I remember right.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that before.
Yeah, because it was like they handed it off to the new crew in that last season as well. And it didn't suck. Last season didn't suck. It had good characters. And then they had the original characters still kind of popping around, but they just didn't have they weren't in it full time.
Gotcha. So yeah, so apparently Undateable is renewed for a third season, and now every single episode in the third season is going to be a live episode, which is going to be really weird.
Yeah, that's going to f*** it up. Yeah, it's not going to last past the third season.
Probably not, no.
You can't do that week in and week out. It doesn't...
Well, especially with how many of the actors on that show have gotten busted for saying the F word on TV already.
Well, not only that, but they're touring comedians. You're going to take how much rehearsal time and a specific night at a specific time every week away from them. It's like they're either going to have to pay
every Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night for a comedian, that's club time.
Because out of the main actors, 4 of them are working comedians.
Yeah, you got Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches. Who else?
Brent Morin and Rick Glassman.
Yeah.
They're all stand-up comics.
It's not going to work, and you're going to have to pay them a bunch of money. And, I can't see it. I can't see Chris D'Elia lasting that long. And it just, like, if it starts to go, he's going to jump ship.
Which is too bad because I think Ron Funches is awesome and I like seeing him on a TV show like that.
I'm having trouble sticking with the show, to be honest with you. Just doesn't intrigue me that much.
I think he's hilarious in it.
Yeah, he's pretty good in it. I don't know. I've tried watching a couple episodes. I'm still undecided, but I never watched any of the first season at all. So,
I mean, come on, it has Rory Scovel walking around shirtless kind of a few times per, you know.
Even season. More of a reason not to watch it.
You don't want to see that hunk of man meat?
I'm good. I don't need to see any hunks of man meat. Okay. The only show that I really stick with it right now is At Midnight. That's the one I watch religiously.
It's so good.
It is fun. It's like, it's basically, it's funny because, you know, Chris Hardwick is all about not trolling people or anything, but that show is just basically all trolling people on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay because it's funny. Just like bigotry and racism. If you make it funny, it's okay.
Especially sexism. When it's Jim Jeffries is on.
Oh, yeah, that last episode was pretty good.
Yeah, because I didn't like most of the people on that episode except for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because everything he was saying was just so horrible.
Well, he just calls it out as he sees it, too. He doesn't play the line of bullshit.
I know, it's so good.
What else? Any other exciting movie stuff? When's Entourage coming out? This next week? Is it Memorial Day weekend? Okay, so then I'm busy for the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks after that, so we'll have to watch it at some point, come like week four maybe.
Yeah, because that's coming out, and then so is Spy.
You.
Come on, it's got Jason Statham.
I don't give a shit. That looks awful.
Oh, dude, I'll totally watch it.
Why?
Because I think it looks funny.
What about it looks funny? What possibly looks funny in that movie? See, I didn't think so. Because
Come on, man. Because
guess what? It's somebody else that plays the exact same character every time. Mm-hmm. Oh, the fumbling fat girl's a spy now. Is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah, the with McCarthy?
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't find her funny. I on SNL, I thought she stunk the place up.
I didn't see her on SNL.
Yeah, she's been on SNL at least once, maybe twice. I think she thought she stunk the place up both times. She will be the downfall of the Ghostbusters empire. As if the river of goo under the city wasn't bad enough. Give it another 30 years and have the unfunny chubby girl come in.
Are you saying you didn't think The Heat was very funny?
I never watched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't like Melissa McCarthy.
You should see all the random stand-up comedians in The Heat.
Oh, I know. There's quite a few of them in it, and good for them. There's the guy that plays the DJ. I can't remember what his name is, but yeah, he's a touring comedian as well. But About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and I can't even remember his name. Adam Ray. Okay. Adam Ray plays the DJ in The Heat, and he's been on At Midnight once recently for the first time.
It's kind of crazy how many just random people are in that movie.
That's because what happens when they know the script doesn't really have content that it needs. They throw a bunch of cameos in there to keep people entertained.
Michael Rappaport and Bill Burr are brothers.
That is actually a conversation that I'd love to be in a fly on the wall for, is those two hanging out.
Right?
Because Michael Rappaport's not really a comedian, but that guy's Boston to the bone.
Yes, he is.
And him and Bill Burr could just go on a rant. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, they play brothers in that.
No, that's on HBO Go. I'm sure I'll watch it because I don't mind Sandra Bullock too much, but I just don't really care for Melissa McCarthy.
Let's see here. I thought there was more comedians in that movie.
Melissa McCarthy, I will give her this. She's really good in Bridesmaids.
But I hate that movie.
I didn't mind that movie.
Oh, I hated it
so much. But, like, that was all I needed to see. I just didn't need to see anything else past that. Mike and Molly. Meh.
Billy Gardell's a funny comedian, though.
He is a funny comedian. He's a really funny comedian. But sitcoms today are crap. They're absolute crap. Bill Burr needs an HBO sitcom.
That'd be great.
Yeah, just or he needs something that follows Louie.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd probably watch anything with Bill Burr in it, actually.
He's funny. I don't like his podcast, though. I don't like just listening to him go off. It's just not as fun. When he does it on stage, it's different.
Yeah, but when it's just like him just hanging out in his like office drinking coffee and just talking as he wakes up for the day.
Especially during football season. Mm-hmm. Football season maybe was probably the better time, I guess, because he gets super pissed off. But yeah, I don't. I like to hear him. I love to hear him when he does interviews, when he interacts with someone. I just don't like to. I don't want to listen to him just musing. His material can come from that, and that's fine for him, but I don't want to be on the very beginning end of material coming about.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't enjoy his podcast very much, and I wanted to.
I really did. I really wanted. I keep trying, and I keep trying, but...
He's had a couple of good stories about tours, but...
I've been really into the About Last Night podcast lately. I think that's pretty good. Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Yeah. You know who Brad Williams is?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty funny.
He is pretty funny. They're both USC guys. I had no idea, but they interview people actually really well.
Really?
Yeah, they're actually pretty decent interviewers. Adam Ray's got a couple of good voices. He actually played, he was a Wolverine at Universal Studios. And, ooh, and
how long ago?
A long time ago, like when he first was getting started out, before he was a comedian, I believe.
Was it in 2006?
It could have possibly been around that time.
Because if he's so, I might have a picture with him.
That'd be awesome if you had a picture with him. He's a very primped looking dude. Like he does his eyebrows and everything, and he's kind of tan. But he was on At Midnight just a few weeks ago for the first time. He got lobbied to be on there. They tried to get both him and Brad Williams on, and they wouldn't do it. So at the last minute, he came up with this improv piece of if he lost, he was going to leave. And it's like, all right, Brad, I'm leaving. And Brad Williams comes running out of the crowd and jumps into his arms. And the production crew didn't want him to do it because they said, you know, if he hurts or he falls or anything like that. But they ended up doing it anyway, just unspoken.
Because that's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Gets him on the show at least. Because everybody's like, who's the dwarf? Is that Peter Dinklage?
The weirdest thing is... Pretty sure Brad Williams is the same comedian who used to hang out with Carlos Mencia a bunch, right?
Yeah, he actually, Carlos is the one that discovered him and had him open for him for like 4 years.
So I had this DVD at one of Carlos Mencia's like first DVDs he released.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because the entire like special settings or special scenes on the DVD were Carlos Mencia, Brad Williams, and POD hanging out.
P.O.D.?
Yeah.
Really?
Like the Christian rap rock band?
Yeah. Were they Christian?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. That's why it was like super random.
Well, where's Carlos Mencia now? Did you see Dane Cook got banned from the Laugh Factory?
Oh, really?
He got banned from the Laugh Factory. Dang. He got in the owner's face and tried to talk it and say that he owned this place. And the owner was like, no, I own this place.
That probably wasn't
You're never smart. Welcome back here. That wasn't smart at all. Dane, you're already kind of douchey. What are you doing?
I watched his new special he released, you know, last year.
Yeah.
Didn't like it very much.
No. I mean, I feel bad for the dude. He did rip off some material. I mean, he ripped off Louis pretty bad with the shoes flying off the guy getting hit by a car. I mean, that's almost verbatim.
Oof.
It was pretty ballsy and bullshit about how he said, you know, if I get it on TV first, then it's mine.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, but, you know, he had the whole thing with both of his parents dying in a short period of time, and then his brother turned out has stolen millions of dollars from him, his half-brother, or his stepbrother or half-brother. Yeah. And, you know, I feel for the dude a little bit, but there's just a lot of little stories coming out about him being a super dick. Him getting banned from the Laugh Factory is a big deal.
It really is, because that's just crazy.
Because the Laugh Factory is, it's a hub right now. It's one of the major metropolitan hubs for comedy. If you can't play the Laugh Factory, I mean, that's where, I think pretty sure that's where Kramer had his meltdown, was at the Laugh Factory.
Was it? Oh, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird, because I listened to an interview with him, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 months ago, and he didn't seem bad.
No, but... I mean, I've listened to a couple as recently as well, but, I mean, he did that whole 3-hour and 45-minute set. I think it was at the Comedy Store or something like that. And then Dave Chappelle came in a few days later and broke it by like 4 hours.
Jeez.
But that doesn't mean, I mean, that's just a, it's funny because Bob Marley's got the longest record. He did like 27 hours straight of stand-up comedy, just sitting on a stage improv. So I don't know. But he owns the world record.
That is crazy.
It is crazy.
How do you do
It just, you just riff and you just do crowd work, and then you just, you come up with a topic, and if you can get a laugh out of it, it doesn't matter if it's material or not. You can just, you know, I mean, Bob Marley's a seasoned comedy veteran.
Oh, he's so funny.
So he can, he's got hours of material. You basically just run through every special you ever had and try to elongate it, tell it a little slower, and then just fill it in with a lot of crowd work.
You know, that would make sense, because Bob Marley seems like he'd be pretty good at crowd work.
No, he's a real sharp dude. His blockbuster bit is probably one of the best things ever come out of comedy.
Oh, that so is Adam Ray.
Is it?
It sure looks like it. Yeah. I found one of the photos. It's the one that I found. I have more on my other computer.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is Mark and I with the fake Captain America, and Wolverine's in the background, and it sure looks like the same dude.
I'll be able to tell you. I'll take a look at it later.
And we have another one of us with Wolverine.
Sweet.
It's on a different computer, though.
How many computers do you spread your holiday pictures out on? I wasn't really giving a question. I was just giving you You should just have them on one computer is what I'm saying.
What happened is it was all on an external hard drive.
Yeah.
And then that hard drive was dying, so I had to pull all the photos off onto one computer.
So you should have multiple hard drives that it's on. I have them all backed up on my iPod Classic. I have a compressed file that has full, you know, quality pictures on there. I have it on an external hard drive, and then I have it on my internal hard drive.
Yeah, I need to get.
I refuse to put it on the cloud. I am. That's the one thing I won't give into is the cloud.
Oh, I don't have any of my photos on the cloud.
Well, I mean, it was a great thing for a lot of hot celebrities to put their pictures on the cloud, because we got to see a lot of good stuff this last year. Boobies.
Well, you know. I think this is the fifth episode that you've done that noise on, too. It's like a streak we're keeping going.
Give me two microphones and I'll motorboat them like boobies.
Well, you got three over there.
Yeah, three.
Make it like
Total Recall.
Yeah, exactly. So you just beat me to the punchline.
Oh, I know. I saw that movie in the I saw that movie at midnight. That was one of the first movies that did like the midnight launch, or one of the early ones. My mom actually took me to that to watch Total Recall at midnight showing, and the three boobed girl came out. I was in the sixth grade. It was awesome.
Yeah, that remake wasn't very good.
It wasn't terrible like some remakes, but it wasn't awesome either. No. But Total Recall wasn't really awesome. It kind of sucked, but it's just nostalgia-wise, it's one of those ones that's kind of stuck in the pop culture nostalgia.
See, that counts for something.
Yeah. Get to Mars. Get your ass to Mars.
Oh, the good old governator. That crazy.
There was no choppers, so he couldn't say, get to the chopper.
It's too bad the guy who made all those... You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger metal songs is in prison for murder.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there's this metal band named As I Lay Dying.
I remember. I know that band. Oh.
And their lead singer, you had a side project where he just recorded songs as an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator.
Did he really?
Metal songs. And they were really funny.
He got sentenced like 20-some-odd years or something like that.
For trying to kill his wife.
That's right.
Well, trying to hire a hitman to kill his wife.
That's right. Yeah, I saw that. I didn't realize he had anything to do with anything like that. Yep. I didn't know there was anything like that. I just love that, there's an old guy that was in the Lord of the Rings movies and the
Christopher Lena's metal band.
Yeah, his metal, but it's just like him speaking.
Yeah.
And he did a holiday one.
That's just so funny.
He did a holiday album where he just kind of speaks the old, like, little drummer boy to speed metal.
Which is hilarious.
And the dude's like 94, 95, maybe 96 now.
And he's supposed to be releasing a new album like
this
year. He does
it every year. He does one every year and has done for like the last 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years.
You know, he probably makes a ton of money off of people going, oh, this will be hilarious.
Well, yeah, same thing. Like people buying the little Christmas holiday barking, meowing albums. John.
Oh, I forgot. Hey, I never bought that.
Yeah, you loved to listen to it, though, didn't you?
It irritated the hell out of everyone I worked with. So
yeah.
Of course I did.
Yeah. Guess what happened? Who took a lighter to it? That was me.
That was okay. It was Devin's copy. Anyway.
I know. That's why I took a lighter to it.
Good point.
Yeah. Oh, bad memories.
Yeah. And we've hit the point of the podcast where we're just reminiscing about stuff that only the two of us know about.
Yeah, but still taking a lighter to somebody's meowing holiday album, I think everybody can identify with.
Yeah.
Because I really want to take a lighter to my boss's iPad right now.
How come?
Because she plays only like 60s and 70s music, and it's all like live versions of it.
Oh, great.
So like live reggae bands, live, she's like a like Fish, and it's all shrieky guitar solos, like shrieky guitar solos and drum solos live. Drum solos are boring unless you're actually there. Mm-hmm. And it's always the same f***ing music over and over and over again. And I can't stand it. And she's younger than me. It's like, it's not even...
Really?
Yeah. And it's not even my generation.
Jeez.
Oh, it's... I get so frustrated.
See, at my work, it's one guy who only listens to, like, jazz... To jazz. Like, two different jazz artists. That I don't know who they are. And then the other guy who listens only to the Beatles or the Kinks.
See, she loves the Beatles. Loves the Beatles.
I
hate the Beatles.
Yeah.
I hate the Beatles. High five, the Beatles. Yeah, they help shape the music, but they help shape music that I like and not, I don't like their music.
Exactly.
If I have to hear Yellow Submarine one more time, the iPad's going out the back door.
I wholeheartedly agree. Even at my work, they have little like Beatles action figures and posters of the Beatles.
The Beatles suck.
Yeah.
I just don't care. It's not my generation. Back in the day, they were a boy band. They were a fabricated boy band. You know what? The Fab Five? Fabricated Five. Fab Four. How many were in the Beatles? Was it just four? Was it the Fab Four? Were they called the Fab Four? I think they were called the Fab Four. Fabricated Four. They were the first boy band, period.
Because
they didn't really know each other. They got formed by the record company. I mean, Christ, Ringo came in at the last minute because the other drummer didn't work out.
And then they lasted for a whole, like, 7 years.
Yeah. Like, and it was, they did a lot of drugs in the second half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be a typical boy band experience.
How else do you explain that White album that we had to listen to at work all the time?
Sergeant Pepper. I don't care. Great. Put it in the annals of history. Get it out of my annals.
Exactly. I don't like the Beatles at all.
No, I don't care for them.
Well, on that angry note.
Yeah, angry old men. Kids and their 50-year-old music.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's okay. I think it's the perfect time to end her.
All right.
So, it's a good episode. I hate saying thanks for joining me because we're both the hosts and it seems kind of douchey to say it that way.
Oh, it's just like that little power trip thing that you do.
Yeah, that's
making sure that I know that it's your podcast because you have all the equipment.
That's what I'm trying to not compound. Say that because it seems kind of a-hole to say. Okay, I know you're the host of this and it was partially your idea.
So but I did, you know, I do drive 45 miles out here every time because if I don't, then you just lose the episode.
Yeah. I blame Matador.
No, yeah, blame it on my dog. Okay, my dog had anything to do with it. He didn't puke on anything.
No, but I was probably distracted rubbing his belly and then just didn't hit the right button.
Jerking off my dog and missing.
Hey, he was, Red Rocket. Awesome. Well, we shall see you next week.
I miss you.
Bye.
Put that in and I'll kick you in the nuts.